Hello, I'm Cheryl Irwin. One of my teen clients, a 17-year-old girl, came in the other day with a problem to solve. She was having an ongoing misunderstanding with a longtime friend, someone whose presence in her life she deeply valued, but with whom she seemed to be having a difficult time communicating. They'd been arguing for several days and ignoring each other in the halls at school. We talked over the situation for a while, and eventually she reached into her backpack. "Here," she said, "let me show you the texts." "Wait a second," I responded as it dawned on me. "Have you actually been talking to your friend, or have you only been texting her?" My client paused, then gave me a slightly embarrassed little shrug. "We're just texting," she said. "Why?" This sort of digital discussion happens all the time these days, and not just between kids. Texting has become the go-to means of communicating, and it does serve a purpose. Texting is great when you want to let someone know something but don't want to disturb him with a phone call. It's helpful for logistics. Where are you? When will you be home? Can you pick up some orange juice on your way? Or to send a photo. But it doesn't matter how many emojis you use or how quickly you can tap that keyboard. Texting is an absolutely awful way to talk about anything that really matters to you. Here's why. Human beings read facial expressions, tone of voice, gestures, and emotional energy to decipher meaning when they communicate. Most people have had the experience these days of having an email conversation go sideways or getting a funky text message, and that's because these complex layers of nonverbal language and meaning are missing from written text, especially with the abbreviated, goofy shorthand we use for texting. Emojis might help, haha, that's a joke, but they can't do the same job as our expressive faces, voices, and bodies, which is why it's so easy to misunderstand someone by text. I've been known to forbid couples I'm working with to text each other, especially about sensitive topics. If it matters to you, it's worth talking about face-to-face, is a good rule of thumb. Unfortunately, research is telling us that children are connecting to screens at younger ages all the time, and that their ability to read nonverbal cues is diminishing. Most of the kids I talk to tell me it's just easier to text, and for them, it is. Another bit of research tells us that for a majority of adults, the first thing they touch in the morning and the last thing they touch at night is not their partner, their child, or the family dog. It's their phone. What are we creating in our relationships and families? Digital technology and ways of communicating are here to stay. I understand that, and I also know that they can serve a valuable purpose. But they're no substitute for human conversation, face-to-face contact, or simple human touch. You can't text a hug no matter how hard you try. An LOL just isn't the same as laughing until you cry with a good friend. Be careful that you don't let texting take the place of real connection in your family. As for my client, I suggested that she text her friend the following message. "Your friendship means a lot to me, and I don't think we're solving our problem very well. Let's meet so we can work this out." When I saw her last, I asked her how it went, and she smiled. "We met for coffee," she said, "and it took us about 3 minutes to solve the problem." I rest my case. For KUNR, this is Cheryl Irwin.